This podcast is sponsored by IQBar. Your favorite clean, functional, delicious nutrition brand is raising the bar with a little help from Thomas Keller, Michelin star chef of the French Laundry. IQBar and Thomas Keller have teamed up to create a salted caramel chip protein bar and yuzu mango hydration mix. With toasted macadamia nuts, rich caramel flavor, and brain-boosting nutrients, this bar is like having a Michelin star meal in your pocket. Pair it with the taste bud tingling yuzu mango IQ mix hydration mix, packed with magnesium and adaptogens to improve clarity and mood. With Keller's culinary excellence and IQ Bar's commitment to great taste and clean ingredients, this limited edition collaboration is simply mwah. And the best part is that 10% of sales go directly to Chef Keller's nonprofit, Mentor, that supports aspiring young chefs. Great taste, great nutrition, great mission. Go to IQBar.com today and enter promo code KELLER20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products plus free shipping. That's IQBAR.com, promo code KELLER20.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor, U.S. Department of Defense. Guantanamo Bay detainee transfer announced. I welcome Bill Raggio, the senior fellow of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies, who with his colleagues keeps the Long War Journal, to help us interpret this press release from the DOD about Abdul Rabbani and Mohammed Rabbani, released from the facility in Guantanamo Bay and transferred to Pakistan. Bill, a very good evening to you. Who are they? Why were they in Guantanamo before we question about Pakistan's security? Good evening to you, Bill.
Good evening, John. Yes, we're down to the worst of the worst, the remainders of Guantanamo. And the Abdul Rabbani and Mohammed Rabbani are the two individuals who have been released to Pakistan. So Abdul Rabbani, he worked for Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, and he operated an Al-Qaeda safe house in Karachi. He 9/11 hijackers are passed through his safe house. And then his brother, Mohammed Rabbani, organized travel and funds for Khalid Sheikh Mohammed and another individual known as Abdul al-Rahim al-Nashiri. He was the mastermind of the USS Cole bombing in October 2020 off the coast of Yemen. 19 American sailors were killed in that. So you're looking at two, you could just call them facilitators. They essentially were aides to Khalid Sheikh Mohammed. Very nasty individual. Should have been prosecuted at some point. But, you know, the other part of this, too, John, is they're being turned over to Pakistan. And what could possibly go wrong? It's very likely that they'll get right back into jihadist circles because Pakistan is not going to care about keeping wraps on these two.
The DOD tells us 32 detainees remain at Guantanamo Bay, 18 eligible for transfer to be continued, 3 eligible for a periodic review board, 9 are involved in the military commissions process, and 2 remaining detainees have been convicted in military commissions. Bill, I do not see many stories exploring what it is that's holding back or what new direction the Biden administration has taken in establishing the guilt of these detainees and then sentencing them to what I presume to be the rest of their lives in prison. Instead, there's this constant suggestion that they'll be released back into the region. Is that accurate? Has somebody said that we're not going to try any of these? 2 have been convicted in commissions. I note that. We're not going to try any of them, that we're releasing all of them to various countries, sometimes in South America, sometimes in the Middle East. Who has made a definitive statement, Bill?
Well, I think that what you just read there is the definitive statement. The 18 eligible for transfer will be transferred at some point in time. The 3 that are eligible for a periodic review board, they will be eligible for transfer at some point. The 9/11 commission or the Department of Defense ability to convict these individuals or to prosecute these individuals that's gone by the wayside. The 9 that are currently involved in the military commissions, they'll be tried. But the rest, I guarantee you, John, at some point in time, they will be, the 21 remaining will be free. This administration didn't want to do it. The Trump administration talked a good talk, didn't want to do anything about those held at Guantanamo, and the Obama administration was eager to close Guantanamo as well. This is really, you know, when I think when you look back on this, that with the fact that we let these individuals who, you know, individuals like the Rabbani brothers just get off scot free, basically, you know, they detained at Guantanamo for 20 years, but they never were actually tried for their crimes. And it's because this process was a mess from to begin with, John.
Let me establish for people who are not with us at the beginning, Bill. These are illegal combatants who participated in the mass murder of American citizens and others over many years, detained by the U.S. government, and the understanding was they were going to be tried for their crimes. That was then. This is now. Have I said all that correctly, Bill?
That is 100% correct. And look, Abdul and Muhammad Rabbani weren't some low-level Taliban fighters picked up off the battlefield. Wrongly detained at Guantanamo. There were individuals that were. These are serious terrorists who played key role in the coal bombing in 9/11 and undoubtedly other terrorist attacks that have occurred in the past. So, you know, again, we're not talking about some low-level Taliban fighter. We're talking about individuals who should be detained. But the problem is that the intelligence needed to give up in order to get these convictions, and then the establishment of the military commissions, and it was just a mess to begin with. No one, President Bush didn't want to fix it. President Obama just wanted to close Guantanamo, and here we are. It's the same story as Afghanistan itself, John. You know, once the decision was made to close Guantanamo, no one cared about who was at Guantanamo. Once the decision was made to leave Afghanistan under the Obama administration, no one really cared about the outcome of Afghanistan.
And Al-Qaeda and ISIS and their kindred of Cain are watching. So we turn to a story from Iraq. The Iraqi security forces, this is the Institute for the Study of War, reporting a summary of the story in Iraq. The Iraqi security forces' inability to defeat ISIS in the northern Baghdad belts could allow ISIS to attack Baghdad itself. An ISIS attack against Baghdad would be a propaganda boon for the group, while possibly triggering sectarian violence and Iraqi security force command changes that could improve the group's position. Bill, ISIS defeated roundly in Syria, driven out of what I understood to be their caliphate, is now operating in something called the Baghdad Belts. Has this been going on for a while?
Yes, it has, John. So this is really the problem of the another problem of the entire war. We make good strides to beat these groups back. Al-Qaeda in Iraq, I'll just stick with Iraq here, right? Al-Qaeda in Iraq in 2009, at the end of the surge, everyone talked about the victory over Al-Qaeda. And then lo and behold, 4 years later, Al-Qaeda in Iraq breaks off from Al-Qaeda and becomes the Islamic State, takes over large portions of the country as well as Syria. Then they're beaten back in 2019, but they're never fully defeated. The groups, the leadership isn't dismantled. The fighters aren't detained and either reprogrammed, you know, to not be jihadists or kept in prison. So, for instance, John, the United Nations Sanctions and Monitoring Team's latest report notes that there's, you know, in Syria, where everyone says the Islamic State is defeated, the Islamic State has 5,000 to 7,000 fighters under arms. I would argue that number is way low. The numbers in these reports are always wrong. They're always underestimated. They did it for the Taliban. They did it for Shabab. They've done it for every group out there. But let's just take that number as true. That is not a defeated organization. This is what we call the ebb and flow of jihad. These groups have their ups, they have their downs. We've seen it in Yemen, we've seen it in Somalia, we've seen it in Pakistan, we've seen it in Afghanistan, we've seen it all across the globe where jihadists fight. But we never truly defeat them. We never make the effort to defeat their ideology. And that, to me, is the most important part. And therefore, these groups are going to be able to organize. In Iraq specifically, yes, the Islamic State was never, there's something called the Hamrin Mountain Range that's north of the Baghdad belts. The Islamic State has been operating there since it was supposedly defeated in Iraq. And yeah, it's now threatening to attack Baghdad again. That would be a major victory for it. These groups, you know, just because the Islamic State is down does not mean it is out.
Finally, Mission Roll Call, which is described as a veteran service organization, did a poll of 5,500 veterans about Afghanistan. Two striking numbers. One, 73% of the veterans said that Afghanistan withdrawal negatively impacted the way they perceive the global war on terror. And 83% of those polled said they were dissatisfied with the lack of accountability from senior civilian and military officials on how they handled the withdrawal. These are stark numbers, Bill. Do you see the reports reflecting this? Are veterans speaking out? Is the Pentagon responding in some way to such an overwhelming poll?
Yeah, these numbers are incredible, and I would argue they're probably underestimated as well. Keep in mind, there's 27% that are either neutral or view the Afghanistan withdrawal positively. I would argue more of them are probably neutral or lean towards negatively impact, right, in that 27%. The Pentagon is doing absolutely nothing about this. Not a single general has taken responsibility for what has happened. General Milley, who's the chairman of Joint Chiefs of Staff, played a key role in the withdrawal. He basically rubber stamped it. He's still chairman of Joint Chiefs of Staff. No one has been, you know, taken to the woodshed for the failures. And these failures really from the military at the top were at the top. And I would argue the failure of the military was to willingly go along with the withdrawal plan.
You know, we have 30 seconds, Bill. Go ahead.
When we could keep 1,000 troops in Kabul and abandon Bagram, the military said, yes, sir, when sergeants and lieutenants knew damn well that that was a major mistake. And the sergeants and the lieutenants are in the 73%. And those generals, they're in the minority that probably view this as being, you know, viewing the global war on terror positively.
Al-Qaeda released to Pakistan from Guantanamo, ISIS in the field against Baghdad, and veterans of the Afghanistan withdrawal extremely unhappy. Bill Raggio, Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.